Welcome to the Combat Radio Network. This is Three Men and a Microphone, recorded inside the Iron Mike Studio, located in the Military Exchange on Route 332 in Canandaigua. Three Men and a Microphone is an opinion show based on the ins and outs, the news, politics, and scuttlebutt about town and the city of Canandaigua. Beautiful, historical Canandaigua, New York, where the hops grow higher, the grapes grow sweeter, and the sun always shines. In conjunction with 1310 AM, Canandaigua. Three men and a microphone, all the way from Rochester to Geneva, New York. I am your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is Three Men and a Microphone. And we'll be right back after these messages. Welcome to Canandaigua 1310 WOKR, and this is Civil War Radio. Can I tell you something? Got to tell you one thing. If you expect the freedom that you say is yours, prove to me that you deserve it. Help us to preserve it, or being free will just be words and nothing more. What's the matter, cupcake? Winter's here, and all you have to look forward to is yellow snow. That Einstein you're dating wants to know where the white goes when the snow melts. Thinking of all the fun you'll have schlepping home at 20 miles an hour? Car won't start, mud, slush, salt, traffic accidents, shoveling, brushing, and wading through a snowdrift just to check the mail? Your boots leak and you only have one glove and it's stuck? Frozen wipers, locks, fingers, toes, and noses. Hey, at Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange, we agree. Winter sucks. So let us help you bear the frozen tundra that is upstate New York. The Military Exchange has everything you'll ever need to kick the crap out of old man winter. Warm hats, caps, gloves, socks, long underwear, Polypro, thermal, wiki, and super wiki. Gore-Tex insulates, wool, jackets, parkas, pants, and boots. There's lots of fun things to do in the snow, but none of it's fun unless you gear up. At Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Stop in and see Corporal Thornton. He'll even show you how to write your name in the snow.
Great googly moogly.
Good morning and welcome to Canandaigua 1310 WOKR, and this is Civil War Radio with Armand Marinetti, Tina Bloom, Mike Garger, and our new, what do we say?
Videographer?
Videographer.
I like it.
Melissa, what's your last name?
Walker.
I know, I gotta keep thinking of, what's that martial arts guy?
Oh,
Chuck Norris.
Texas Ranger guy?
Yeah. Yeah, that Walker.
Walker, Texas Ranger.
All right. So tell us what we're going to talk about today.
Well, in this segment, this is Civil War Radio. And again, as a reminder, we're going to keep it civil, which means polite, and we're going to be adults, and we're going to talk like mature people. And the war part is that we're probably going to have some different opinions, but we're going to be able to bring it out again like mature adults and not swing at each other, especially since we're live. You know, So today's topic is a little bit of a review from our last topic, which was the five principles of American government. So there's going to be a little bit of touch on that, and then we're going to go into the branches, but only maybe as far as the executive branch today, and then show how they intermingle with a news topic, a current news topic involving the executive branch and the Supreme Court. So let's start off with one of the tools that I've been using is this Project Citizen, put out by our civil ed .org organization, which has been approved by the state of New York to be used with our students in high school. And we're going to just, here comes the review part as far as what is the reason or the purpose for civics and being a citizen. Why do we have to bother with this stuff? Well, I guess I'm going to read. Exciting. And I'm going to make a note, though, before I read. I'm going to change some of the words because I noticed that in this text that they talk about democracy. And last episode, we realized that we're not a pure democracy here in America. We're a constitutional republic. And I use the term constitutional democratic republic, which is easy to forget. Yeah, it's easy to forget. In other words, we have a rule book. It's called the Constitution. It's written to keep our government under control because we are supposed to be self-governed as American. Now, that's the revolutionary idea that came about way back in the 1700s when the people here fought the British for their independence. Okay? So, Thomas Jefferson, he considered himself a democratic republican that followed the Constitution. So I'm not going to go back, and if you want, we can on WOKR1310.com, you can look up the podcast from the last show, which would have been, I think it was December 2nd, and you can hear what we talked about then as far as definitions go.
Just scroll down past Three Men and a Microphone, and you'll see the link to Civil War Radio.
Okay.
It's on the same page.
All right. Yep. And I think it's weekend broadcast or weekend schedule. Yeah, yep, weekend schedule. So with that said, we being self-government, that means we have to participate. And I think that we in this room have discussed that a lot of people don't participate in government at every level, from local right on up to the federal. We might go vote, and that could be the extent of it. But why is this important? Why do we really need to participate? Again, I'm going to read from the text here. For citizens to play such a role, it requires, among things, first, to understand the system of government. So that's what we're going to try to do with these episodes, is help us understand how our system of government works. Because it is pretty unique to the rest of the world. Second is to have knowledge, skills, and willingness to participate to an adequate degree. Now, we're providing knowledge. I used to tell my students that knowledge is something that I might know. That's what the word knowledge comes from. My job as a teacher is to give you that knowledge, and you, as a student, get to use it and then pass it on as well. So, it's a living, breathing, moving thing. Not like our Constitution. Okay? We'll talk about, because that's a piece of paper. It's like a contract. All right? So we'll talk about that another time. And then finally, to participate in enlightened, that means that you have that knowledge and then that you're open-minded. Enlightened reasoned commitment to fundamental values and principles of American democracy. And here's where I'm going to edit and say American Democratic Republic. Okay. So whenever I see democracy, and a little bit later on, I'm going to use the New York Times as an example, I always substitute either Democratic Republic or Constitutional Republic so that it's more accurate.
So to break this down real quick, Armin, we talk about our government being participatory. And people, instead of armchair quarterbacking all the decisions that we make as a government or as a society, people need to get involved. And for our listeners and viewers, on 2020 recently, they were talking about in the town of Canandaigua, making decisions, you know, not to keep Canandaigua agriculture and rural and things like that. They wanted to kind of make it go the way of Henrietta and Webster, I think, is what some people cited. People have to get involved. I've been to some of these referendums and these open forums, and there's maybe a dozen people that actually come and participate. So, Armin, what we're talking about now, what are some venues and ways that you think people could get involved in government?
Well, I guess one of the easiest is to take a look at your school board. That's probably one of the easiest. Now, you may run for school board. You may attend their meetings. You can look them up on the web. They have a website page that will tell you when they are. So that's probably one that's not very what's the word I'm looking for? Some people feel intimidated when they go to these things. Mike, you've been to several of them. You know how that goes. So that would be the one thing, is try to attend these meetings. Now, you have to pay attention to the newspaper as well, because that's when a lot of them are publicized. That's where a lot of them are publicized. So here we have a city council in Canandaigua. You could try to attend those meetings as well. The town of Canandaigua has their board meetings, excuse me, that you should attend as well. Now, here's the difficulty, is that sometimes when you do go, they're at awkward times. They might be 7 o'clock at night, and people may not want to get out, especially in the wintertime, to go to these meetings. Another problem is that you may not understand what's going on until you view them several times and they follow the procedure. So people do feel intimidated, and it's easier to do nothing. That's just human nature. So that's part of it. If you want to get brushed up on, Robert's Rules of Order, you can join some local organizations that are not as intimidating. We've talked earlier about I'm a part of the American Legion, the Sons of the American Legion. They follow Robert's Rules many years ago. You might remember if you participated in school government at high school level, you followed Robert's Rules of Order, so that it's just not a free-for-all. People aren't throwing things at each other. So those are probably the easiest local ways to participate. On a negative side, you can participate by force. and that's usually if you get a speeding ticket, you could participate that way. It's not a positive participation.
So are you encouraging people just fly down the street and stop and say, all right,
no,
go meet your judiciary.
That's right.
No, because when you participate that way, it usually costs you money.
That's right. Your local constable and your local judge.
Yes. So now let's bring this participation one step further. Think back to when you guys were learning about government, probably starting in junior high and then on to high school and maybe even in college. I'm going to quiz you guys because that's the teacher in me.
Hmm.
How many branches of government are there and what's their names?
Three.
Oh, I got a yes. Yes.
There's three branches of government. There's the executive, the legislative, and the judicial.
Very good. You're correct.
Now, usually.
Now, to confuse the issue and make people think, there are many people that believe, myself included, that there is a fourth branch, which is called the administrative branch. Many of these people are hired or appointed, not elected, and they have a lot of power. So, going back to what you said, Mike, the executive is headed by...
the President of the United States.
Correct. And the legislative is headed by?
The Speaker of the House.
And Congress in general,
right?
And the
right.
Speaker is the big shot in the House.
Right.
Yep. And how about, what do they call the guy in the Senate?
Senate.
What's his name? What do they call the
Senator Pro Tem or something like that?
Oh, I don't remember. We'll look that up. We'll bring that up. And that's what's nice about having...
Stump the teacher.
Yeah,
that's right.
Having books, we can look these things up. And then we have the judiciary. And what's the top of that judiciary branch?
That would be the Supreme Court.
Supreme Court.
Right.
Yep. And the Chief Justice is one of the nine of the members. I see a lot of head shaking going on. I don't know if I should continue.
Oh, okay.
No,
we're still recording for the show.
Okay.
I'm recording it, and it says live.
So let me back up and say, I think this was, what was Monday's date? December 4th. I found an article in the New York Times that was discussing President Trump's executive order about limiting travel to the United States from eight other nations.
Okay.
Six of the eight have majority of Muslim population. Let me just list them so that we can all be on the same page here. We have Iran, Libya, Syria, Yemen, Somalia, Chad, North Korea, and then some groups from Venezuela. So the Supreme Court, some time ago, President Trump passed an executive order saying that people from those nations, their travel to the United States should be limited because they may have bad ideas when they come here. Some might be terrorists. That seems to be a pattern. So a federal court, two federal courts, one in Hawaii, one in Maryland, said that, no, Mr. President, you don't have that power. What you did is unconstitutional, and you're violating their First Amendment protection of freedom of religion because it seems like you're focusing on people of the Islamic faith. So now lawyers, like we talked last time, lawyer versus lawyer, they get to battle it out. And it worked its way up to the Supreme Court, and on Monday the Supreme Court said the president is okay on his third try, because he had a couple previous tries that may not have been okay, on his third try to limit. And they used, in the title of the article, they used the word ban, but when you read the article, it's more of a limit, because he's not banning them. They can still come here for vacation. They can come here if they have family, but he's not going to give them immigration with an E. It's spelled with an E. They're not going to come here and settle. They're not going to do that.
They can visit. Those countries.
Yes, yes, but it's almost temporary. They have to go. They can't get a working permission to work here. So we'll see how that's administrated by the fourth branch of government. Because sometimes this is where the friction is today. We have people that are career, I'm going to use the term governors. I'm going to make that up, governors, all right, because it's easy for me to remember. So they're career governors. They make law. They make rules, regulations. And sometimes they may not like who wins the presidency. So they will do a silent protest and not do their job to the fullest of their ability. Make sense?
It does. And one of the interesting things, Armin, with that is when this went to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in Seattle on Monday, it was comprised, this committee, of three judges appointed by the Clinton administration. So I guess I was enlightened as a Republican to see that they were actually willing to go along with this. And we were talking about religious freedoms and things of that nature. One of the things I found interesting as well is they're citing on Trump's side, on the side of our government, why this ban should be put in place is inadequate information sharing practices from these eight nations. So security of our borders is obviously a high priority for our country and should be for our commander-in-chief. And I feel like this is one of the first presidents that's actually willing to take some flack from this and do something. And he has. He's been put through the ringer by the Democrats and some Republicans alike for this ban. Additionally, I think it was Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford that put two of these similar bans or controls in place in 1980 and 1985, respectively, in 85 for Cuba, not allowing certain people to come to our country. So this isn't a novel concept. This isn't something that's not been done in the past.
Right. I agree. Very, very well said. Here's where I have a little confusion in my own mind, which is not hard to do. But now these citizens that we're talking about are from other countries, correct?
Yeah.
And we're talking about citizenship as part of the Civil War radio concept. Why, if they're from other countries and they're not U.S. citizens, do we feel it's important that our U.S. Constitution applies to them? I have a real problem with that. Sadly, in our lifetimes, assimilation is being lost. My grandparents came from Italy right around the end of World War I. Reason being, they didn't like what was going on in Italy. So they came to America for an opportunity to live free. And they insisted on their sons and daughters, my mom and dad, to be American. They couldn't speak Italian. That wasn't allowed. They had to speak American because they were born in America, meaning they're American.
Actually, we don't speak American. We speak English.
Yeah.
Now,
just
you,
to clarify.
See, there's a problem. Right there. There's a problem. See, he's going right back to the English.
Correct, yes.
Well, we don't speak the Queen's English.
Right.
Very good. Very
so
good.
So were you in favor of that? Do you think that that was a good idea? So if you come to our country, you have to assimilate to some degree to our culture and our Constitution.
Yes, because Americanism is more than land. It's an ideology that was unusual when it became initiated back in the 1700s with what we refer to as our founding fathers. So, yeah, I think it's more than just land. They have to become part of the culture. Believe as we believe. Believe in the Constitution. Believe in limited government. Believe in a Bill of Rights. Or else we're going to have friction.
I agree. Yeah. And I want to go back. I misspoke. It wasn't Carter and Ford. It was Carter and Reagan before putting in certain travel controls. Okay. But, yeah.
So that's my two cents for this morning. So
that was good. I mean, politically, guys, how do you feel about the travel ban? Good idea? Bad idea? You know, maybe. Well,
I think these are some of the worst countries out there. We're talking one of these countries still auctions off slaves. You know, the other ones have no human rights. Everything is in an uproar. That's where all of our terrorists are coming from. They can come here and visit and go on vacation, but they can't live here. Yeah. I think that's not strict enough at all. what do they call that? A 2-week sabbatical? That's exactly what a terrorist does. They take that's what our Americans do, English people do from England. They take a 2-week sabbatical, jump on a plane, go over to Yemen, get geared up, then go into Afghanistan and take their sabbatical of 2 weeks of fighting. And they fight against us. So what are they going to do now? Do their sabbatical here in America and then hope they make it home? If not, then they you know, they got their religious victory.
And look at 9/11. You know, I think that is probably a great example in most recent history where you had folks coming from some of those other countries or other countries not named in the travel ban currently.
Well, okay. So I was going to say, most of the people who came on 9/11 and did these terrorist attacks actually came from Saudi Arabia,
different
right?
Different country, yeah.
And Saudi Arabia is not part of the travel ban.
Right.
But Saudi Arabia is actually, as a government itself, is against those people, and they have had, if you read Saudi Arabia's, you know, today history or events, they are constantly having their own terrorist attacks in that country where they're having to defend them.
Right.
They're still our ally, but they have bad elements that, I don't know, for lack of a better way, hide out in the sand dunes and run around in their little tiny pretend army camps, and then they come and take it out on us or them.
And it's impossible, I think, for any country or government to control every citizen, right? Absolutely impossible.
Right.
You're never going to do that. But I think for our country to say, okay, we're going to partner or allow travel in and out of our country from other countries that have similar values, similar thoughts, it will take a stand and say we're against terrorism and some of these countercultures. Agreed. You know, it's these eight countries definitely have not said anything to that nature. So I think we're doing the right thing, personally.
Right.
I want to say, didn't we get rid of Chad with the last election booths?
Oh, that's Chad?
That's something different. Tim, there's a nation Chad spelled the same way, boy, you know?
It sounds like...
See what we're talking about every week?
See what Tina has to put up with?
I know.
Hey, dude, are you a hanging Chad? You know, let's go get stoked. I just watched a surfer movie the other day.
Oh, boy.
See, I'm that guy in the back of the classroom.
Yeah.
Spitballs.
Who wants to...
Spitballs and,
this is where the show starts to go down the tube.
Yeah.
Down.
So tell me what you guys think about the resignation of Senator Al Franken, Conyer. I guess there's a new guy this morning. What was his name now?
Go back and check because we had just
what was that
come
guy?
Up with his
Lott?
Name.
Lott? What was his last name?
Franks?
No.
Franks.
Trent Franks.
Trent Franks.
Yep.
So we talked about this last week, you know, 40-year-old morals being brought into today's morals. You know, where you've had 40 years to say, wow, you know what, I guess that was wrong. I'm not going to, you know, I got to say the word seduction. I don't know if it's wrong. Maybe it's not on the same level, you know, where you know, you make someone laugh, and then you give them some wine, and you say, hey, you like me, here's some spaghetti, let's all have one strand, you
know. Like Lady and the Tramp.
You know, and next thing you know, they,
so cute.
You know, I'm not saying Al Franken was using seduction techniques, it was more like groping techniques, but should these people be fired without going to court, without having someone actually press charges? Maybe, right? I guess because, like with Senator Al Franken, I mean, there's pictures. With Mr. or whatever Senator Moore, or he's running.
No, Trent.
The new Trent, guy,
Franks.
Yes, Franks.
Well, no, but there's Moore. Remember?
Oh, right, yeah. And Conyer.
Right, yeah. Right, he's just got allegations. They don't actually have. They got written police reports.
And that wasn't even necessarily any kind of sexual harassment. That one's kind of weird, you know, regarding surrogacy of children, having a surrogate.
No, that's Franks. I'm talking about Moore.
Franks, yeah. Right. No, we're
Moore is the older guy who was hitting on chicks in the mall.
Yeah, you want to get even worse. I mean, we have local examples of a kindergarten teacher in Brockport,
sickening. Yeah.
That was just let go. I think he was also arrested.
Yeah, he was also like a camp counselor at a child's camp.
Yeah.
Didn't we have a super hot chick from around here that was messing around?
We had a school teacher in the Canandaigua school system that was alleged to... No, not alleged. I'm sorry. She was convicted.
That was a couple years ago. Yeah.
Right, that was a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, and some guy actually... some kid complained, huh?
Why are we really going there?
I'm just saying. Yeah. This is a family show. So I guess, what's the big picture? That's what always puzzles me. What's the big picture? You know, we're human.
You know, that's a good question, and that's one that my wife and I were talking about. We were saying, is this a watershed moment? Is this the time when women's rights are actually going to come to the forefront finally, and women are going to start getting the respect that they deserve?
Respect or fear? Remember, I worked for corporate America during the Clinton administration.
Okay.
There was a guy who was fired because he repeated a joke the next morning at the water cooler from Seinfeld. And the joke is there's something that rhymes with vulva.
Right.
And being a failure of human biology class in eighth grade, I still to this day have no idea what they're talking about, but that's okay because I have no idea. Probably will never know. But he got fired for repeating that joke that was on TV. Gone. There was an element of fear. If you said, hey, Susie Q, you look good in that dress today. Gone.
Okay, Tim.
Where are we today where now it's not a matter of just losing your corporate job for slipping up or saying something? And by the way, don't see where this applies to women very much, but it does apply all the time to men. Then Clinton came around, messed up with the whole Monica thing, right? And all the liberal and Democrat women said, wow, we were just kidding. And then it backed up, and it was like this, exactly like this. If I walked up and said, you know, I'm interested in you, and the girl at the factory said, well, I'm not interested in you, done. But you could actually say, did you want to go out? I like you. No, I don't like you. Then you stop. But if she says she likes you, you're okay. It actually backed up to some form of reality. Now, where are we today? Legally, corporate-wise, job-wise, politically.
I'd like to share another story with you. There's a woman I spoke to recently who was employed at Kodak. And she started out her career on the assembly line, which there's thousands of people that worked at Kodak on the assembly line back in the day. Very few of them ever moved from the assembly line up into any type of management position. Okay, and she caught the eye of a supervisor, and the supervisor told her that he would take her off the assembly line and start to move her up the chain of management. She was so thrilled. And one of her co-workers said, this is a great opportunity for you, but beware. This person has a reputation. And she was forewarned that there may be some things asked of her that she would be required to perform, some duties that she might be required to perform. So she went, she took the new assignment and was called into the supervisor's office. And she said the supervisor's office had glass halfway up, you know, solid walls at the bottom, but glass halfway up. So anybody walking by the office could look in the office. And she said she went into the office, sat down, and the supervisor came over around the desk, unzipped his pants, pulled his junk out, and said, I have an issue I need you to help me with. She reached into her coach purse, pulled out a pair of scissors, and said, bring it here.
Oh, nice.
Right. Now, she says that supervisor never messed with her again. But she felt that it hurt her career moving forward, that he prevented her from moving up the chain of management. So is that the type of stuff that we want to allow to happen in this country?
Well, it should never be allowed. My mother was an executive, and she had a guy kept telling her, you'd look better if you wore this.
Right.
And she was in a spot where she was as high as she could go. And this goes back, you know, quite a few years. I just got home from the service, and I went to her to a party at her corporation, and she told me. I said, well, you look down. She goes, oh, this guy, and, you know, now me and your dad are divorced, so I can't call him. And I went into the office, shook his hand, and then I shook his hand, and I pulled him close, and I complimented him on his clothes, and I got really close, and I gave him another compliment. He goes, oh, I know what you're doing. Yeah, and it better stop. I go, are you uncomfortable? Oh, I'm uncomfortable. I still was holding his hand.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't let him go.
Right.
And it, you know, you're right. I mean, are we still at, you know, Ad Men type of movie, you know, where it's, where you can impress on someone that kind of pressure? But at the same time, still going back to that Seinfeld thing, slip up once, make a little joke, touch somebody on the elbow, and you were out.
That's just overboard. And that's sad, and that's unfortunate. I all of this is inappropriate. What I would hate, Mike, is to see that women's rights now takes a leap forward on the back of guys screwing up and being idiots. You know, I want women to achieve on their own merits. I want women to get promoted and get different jobs because of their education, because of their experience, because of what they bring to the table, not because guys are screwing up. I mean, could this be a step forward for women's rights? Certainly. But should it come at this precipice? I don't know. You know, I hope they're not parallel. You know, I hope this gives women opportunities for advancement that perhaps they didn't have before because of some of this. But I also don't want guys to be fearful in the workplace, you know, to make a joke with me. I don't want it to become such a sterile environment for me to work in. I work in the corporate world. I would hate to, you know, constantly feel like I'm on pins and needles with guys and make them feel uncomfortable around me just because I'm a female in their presence. So that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
You know, here's what I'm taking away from this is that there are many examples of people behaving badly. And I'm not going to separate the men from the ladies. Bad behavior is bad behavior no matter what your gender is. Okay. So the big question that I always struggle with is what is leading us as human beings to this type of behavior? Is it a lack of moral foundations to know right from wrong? Is it that simple? Students would come into my classroom in a rage, and I would calm them down and say, what's going on? Well, my mom did this, her boyfriend did that, and this is what set them off as they come into the classroom first thing in the morning. So I would say, okay, you're creating trouble here. You're not fixing a problem. Your problem is going to exist when you leave here today. So if you want your problems to get worse, keep acting like you're acting. And that's what we're doing. We're making our problems worse by our own actions. So what I would say is everybody look within, because that's where the trouble begins. We can talk about men. We can talk about women. We're all human. We all have our flaws.
Right.
So let's work on ourselves
in our relationships with the people around us.
And as of late, the ones that we're referencing that we've seen really come down hard recently, Matt Lauer, Al Franken, these are folks that I feel like thought they were above reproach,
right,
because they were popular and people liked them. And they knew, well, you know, I'm the one bringing ratings, or I'm the one, you know, bringing good government, whatever Franken thought he did. You know, I'm bringing something to the table where I can do whatever I want and nobody's going to touch me. Now we know that that's not the case. And I think that's a beautiful thing. Nobody, male, female, indifferent, should ever feel like that or feel like they have that right.
Right. Nobody should feel they're above the law.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Going back to that golden rule again, this is probably
the
fourth week or fifth week in a
that
row.
We're ending up the program with
treat people the way you want to be treated.
That's right.
I don't want to be mistreated by anybody. And so that I would tell my students, I'm not yelling at you because I don't want you yelling back. I did that one class. I yelled at a class once, and I got a headache. And they laughed. So that was the end of that.
No, it's ego. It's pride, I think, and it's ego. And I think it's people thinking that they're above everybody else so they can do whatever they want, and that's crap.
Well, they're TV political rock stars. You know, Matt Lauer.
Not anymore.
What was the other guy that Matt Lauer interviewed?
Charlie Rose? He was a big
No, he
man.
Interviewed the other guy that was on Fox. And now he's gone.
O'Reilly.
He grilled O'Reilly over stuff.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
calling the kettle black.
Uh-huh. Right.
And now he's out there. But these guys are rock stars, and certainly not an excuse. But you know, you think about who's my old saying. You know, we're all made out of flesh and blood. You know, how far can you go in life without making a mistake or without, you know, being weak and stuff like that? I mean, certainly, I'm not Jesus, right? I don't have that kind of structure to never, ever fail. And, you know, it won't be long before somebody has the goods on a female politician.
Uh-huh.
And then they're going to go down. And it always comes back to the same thing for me. Why would you ever step into the public limelight? Why? Because you...
Somebody has to. I mean, that's why we're doing the
But the people
thing,
that
right?
do... If they're that kind of person, like, don't you have to have an ego?
Yeah, why does it attract them?
Right, well, because you have to have an ego.
Okay.
An ego that's huge.
Okay.
To run for public office?
Well, not all public office.
Easy.
I wouldn't say, like, every... Yeah, you should flash on that.
Yeah, flash on the sign.
The sign. Run for public office?
Yeah, who would do such a thing?
Right.
But you have to have an ego to run for president, to run. Some guys have come right out of college, 18 years old. I'm going to be a senator. I think Schumer's one of them. I'm going to do this. You got to have an ego. Along with that ego comes what? I don't know.
But, Tim, this ties back in. I'm sorry, Armin. Just what we were talking about at the very beginning. You can't armchair quarterback government. If you want to change things and you want to get involved, you need to step up and do something. Yep. So
right.
Is it truly just ego, or is it also a portion of you does want to better your community, your state, your
Well, I think they all do. I mean, I think who wouldn't, right?
Well, I think there are probably lots of people in government currently that are there for the perks and the benefits and, you know, the name recognition and not necessarily to do something.
Right.
So it is
well,
what it is.
I would like to think most of the people around here, New York State, you know, in our county.
City of Canandaigua.
They want to do good for their own people.
I agree.
I actually just said this on a Facebook post that, you know, you expect a lot out of all these groups, but every group wants to better their group. So, literally, I use the example of a Black Panther, like the Black Panther movement.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
So, right, as bad as they can be and were, especially in the 60s and maybe the 70s, there was a lady in here yesterday, and she was telling me how she was raised in Rochester in a house that the Black Panthers frequented, and she always had an odd feeling because there was this one guy who hung out in the house all the time, and his job was to just watch the kids. I said, well, you said they were Black Panthers, right? She goes, yes. I go, his job was probably security, because being a Black Panther in Rochester in the 60s, right, somebody's probably going to want to hit your house, and maybe there's your kids. So his job was to be there to protect the kids. And meanwhile, she remembers this house as a place where her mother got up every morning and fed every poor kid in the neighborhood.
Wow.
Was constantly pushing food right out of the kitchen to feed everybody.
That's awesome.
So again, we're seeing the term Black Panthers, right, which most of us think, oh no, right? But there again, what did they want? They wanted something better for their own people, regardless of their means or their methods. But it's their people.
So the charter doesn't always match the execution.
And how different is that than any other group? Antifa, the neo-Nazis, the Republicans, the Democrats, the whatever. I don't know. You know, you could go on, right?
Yeah.
They all are trying to do something for themselves. But as they see their own community.
The ends don't always justify the means.
Well, I don't know that. I mean, I guess I'm not saying that they don't justify. I say that we expect too much of people. I expect that group to do the best they can for that group. That's what they should do, as I will do for my group, whatever I deem that, you know, being.
But would you deem things like violence appropriate? So going back to the Black Panthers and Antifa and things that they've done, I mean, do you think all of their means to get to what their organizational charter was, and perhaps it wasn't as formal?
So my group is the Marine Corps and the U.S. Army. And in World War II, my group did not agree with the methods of Adolf Hitler, who said, I'm going to do the best I can for the German people. I want to make Germany the best. And he got too far, too along the way. He did too much that hurt other people for the benefit of his group. So my group went in and killed. On this side of the history, we're the good guys.
You were an equalizer.
And I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not okay with other people outside of my group that do violence. But if violence is what stops them from doing violence, then I guess that's okay.
This is a pretty philosophical show, guys.
Right. And, you know, we just celebrated Pearl Harbor, right?
Yeah,
December 7th, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, very few of the people who experienced that are left with us anymore. They did have a story about one of the survivors in the Daily Messenger this week, mm-hmm. and I would recommend if you get a chance, you know, read that story. And you know, I when you look at the situation there, where Japan used whatever means were necessary to try to defeat the Americans, and the Americans turned around and used nuclear weapons for the first time. I mean, justified, not justified. That question's still being debated to this day.
Right. Changes the course of history, for
sure.
Yeah. So I have almost a Facebook 2020 Christmas story. So one of your guys that you kicked off.
Oh, a guy kicked off.
Canada,
I always get good ones here.
So I'm on another Facebook page called Canandaigua 20/20. And through, I guess, different Facebook pages, I friended one of them, and we've had talks, and I feel that he's hard guy, far to the right. Well, I have an old friend, a staff sergeant from the Marine Corps, who's Black, and he's far to the left. He gets a big kick if you post anything in the middle of drawing it in. He'll come in and say, hey, Tim, what's going on here? I like Obama. I like this. I'm anti-Trump. I'm anti-Confederate statue. So these two guys start arguing on my page. And I'm going, oh, I don't want this. I don't care about these little arguments. I don't think they mean anything. But they start going at it. But my staff sergeant from the Marine Corps, all of a sudden he holds back. And the other guy really lets it go. But never to the racist point, only politically, culturally, stuff like that. But he never, like, dropped the N-word. I'll say it. I didn't even say that on Facebook, but I'll say it here. So the staff sergeant says, you know, is he okay? He sends me a little private message. I go, I don't know. He's upset. He goes, well, I'm just going to let him vent. I'm not going to feed into it. So the guy vents. Then he goes, are you sure he's going to be okay tonight? And I thought that was odd that he cared, because he's the pot stir.
Right.
Always.
Right.
Amongst all our group of like 67 vets that all serve together, he's the one that always texts in and starts drunk.
And stirs the pot.
So I text the other guy back, which I believe is from up here, but he doesn't live here anymore. And he says, yeah, I'm okay. I'm just a little upset. Somebody is messing with my paycheck, and I have to feed my family in 5 days. It'll be 5 days before I get another check. Everything is wrong right now. So the staff sergeant, through two, you know, those little private Facebook messages, where does he live? I said, he lives in the same state that you do. There's a city near him that will feed him through a church at noon tomorrow, and it's like a grocery store. Anything you want, they have. Toothbrushes, everything, food, everything. They don't ask you why. You don't have to apply. You just show up, and they give it to you. He didn't. Now, the other guy, the white guy, didn't really like that. Actually, I don't even know if he's white. I've never seen his real picture.
Uh-huh.
So he says, oh, I'm never going to do that. I'm too proud. I'm not going to. I go, but yet, your family's hungry. I do believe he went and made, got the food Wednesday, and I friended the two of them together. And the staff sergeant is going to help him find a job.
Aw.
Yeah. And a better job.
Started with debate.
Right. And these are
it started with a heated, hateful debate.
Yeah.
Where they're just trying to draw each other in.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. But you could see the goodness in people's hearts. And, you know, really, you know, sometimes we have a little fun on Facebook and like that, you know, in our groups or whatnot. But the heart always seems to win out on so many of these issues. So, and when we come back, we'll come back with Canandaigua 2020, and we'll talk about some of those stories.
Okay. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back with hour two of Three Men and a Microphone, WOKR, Canandaigua 1310, first in local news, right after these messages.
Kim's Shaggy Dashik Pet Spa, a natural choice in pet grooming, located at 1010 South Clinton Avenue in Rochester. Shaggy Dashik Pet Spa is neatly nestled in the south wedge between the India House and Salvatore's Pizza. Kim's Shaggy Dashik Pet Spa, your premier full-service pet salon. Our courteous and professional staff has served pets in the Rochester area for the past 16 years. Come visit our salon and let us pamper your pet. Kim's Shaggy Dashik Pet Spa is a full-service grooming salon dedicated to quality grooming services in a low-stress environment using all-natural products. Kim is very knowledgeable and provides a warm, friendly grooming environment. Kim's Shaggy Dashik Pet Spa offers many grooming services such as full-service bath, full-service haircut pedicures, nail filing, facials, flea bath, toothbrushing, shed less packages, and specialty shampoos mini spa. Call for a free quote at 585-355-4761. Visit our website and Facebook page, Kim's Shaggy Dashik Pet Spa.
Christmas is the time of year when giving is its own reward, and the staff at Iron Mike's Military Exchange in Canandaigua would like to thank you for your patronage and for supporting our military, Veterans Talk Show, and local charities. Have a hard-to-buy-for person on your list? Iron Mike's Military Exchange offers gift certificates, the gift that never gets returned. Plus, any purchase over $100 will receive a free set of custom dog tags to honor that loved one in your family. Iron Mike's Military Exchange has expanded to 5,000 square feet and has plenty of great gift ideas. A wide selection of winter gear in wool and Gore-Tex, plus military collectibles for the veteran in your life. Merry Christmas from everyone at Iron Mike's Military Exchange, Route 332 in Canandaigua. And please remember, it's really all about the little baby born in a manger.
Tactical to practical. Cold weather clothing and gear at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Polypro cold weather masks, long underwear, gloves, boots, socks, caps, parkas, and field jackets on sale now.
I came home on leave and everybody wants me to wear my uniform, but I'm missing my medals and I don't know where to go.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
The seatbelt ate my ribbons.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
I deploy in one day and the mail order place didn't get me my boots.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
My unit wants me to do an inspection when?
Iron Mike's has a PX.
We know! Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
Ribbons, unit patches, medals, shooting badges, rank and insignia, boots, socks, accus, even boot bands. Iron Mike's can even custom order dress hats and hard-to-find uniform pieces. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua and online at ironmikes.co.
Every man can grow a beard. However, your beard can become a great beard when using Mud Creek Apothecary Beard Care Products. Using Mud Creek Apothecary Beard Care Products promotes a softer, fuller beard, while also keeping skin healthy and hydrated underneath. Our products will help to control strays. Mud Creek Apothecary Beard Oil will help replace the oils we lose while washing and help to condition your facial forest. Try Mud Creek Apothecary Beard Balm for a light hold while softening and promoting your manly growth. Remember the name Mud Creek Apothecary, my bearded friends. And as always, stay strong and beard on.
Another tactical to practical moment has been brought to you by Iron Mike's Military Exchange. Camouflage netting was designed to cover up military buildings, tents, tanks, and artillery. Ah, but back stateside, at home, in your backyard, it's the perfect shade for the family patio or deck, or a dog kennel. It's a great blind for hunting duck and deer and to cover up that boat or tree stand. Perfect for a backstage drop for your next theatrical performance or airsoft and paintball scenario games. Iron Mike's camouflage netting comes with or without reinforced net backing. 100% waterproof, rot and mold resistant. Quiet and rustle free, texture for a more natural look. UV and non toxic treated to prevent glare and shine. Reversible for different color options to best fit the environment. Pliable even in extreme temperatures. Comes in several sizes. 10x10, 10x20, 8x10, 8x20, and 4x10. And camouflage netting comes in many colors. Woodland, desert, dead duck, snow, and many more. This tactical to practical moment was brought to you by Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua.
Check them out online at ironmikes.co.
Honey, how many times do I have to move your old army bag? It's taking up too much room in the closet.
It's a duffel bag. It's full of my old uniforms.
And are you going to wear them again?
Yeah, maybe. Someday.
Uh-huh. And what size do you wear now?
Whatever.
Honey, why don't you take them to Military Mike's? You're certainly there enough.
It's Iron Mike's, and at least he doesn't make comments about my weight.
Bring your old military gear down to Iron Mike's Military Exchange. They'll turn your old uniforms, gear, and military collectibles into cash. So if you drug it back from overseas and it doesn't fit your motif, we want it. Iron Mike's wants your Class A's, Alphas, Hammies, Fatigues, Utilities, Digis. We want your Deuce gear, Molly gear, Alice gear, Web gear. Bring in your Poly Pro, new boots, used boots. Heck, if it's green, camouflaged, or digital, we want it. Give it a good home, used, pre-enjoyed. Iron Mike's has a bin for it. Iron Mike's buys, sells, and trades. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua, New York. Check out all their newly acquired items at militaryexchange.co.
Clerico, can I get a drink? Sumatra, pull down the shades. Duro, lock the door. We're gonna party. Can you hear me? How long I've been on? Welcome! Enlisted and officers, WMs and Devil Dogs, I'm Corporal Tim Thornton, your host for tonight. This is the DD214 and Laurel Cigar Lounge, fresh from the Dominican Republic, Hickory Mono Cigars, here at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Smoking lamp is out. Tune in every Saturday morning, 8 to 10 a.m., for three men and a microphone and a lady. Hear all about local news, politics, fishing report, and sports, as well as all the talk about town and the scuttlebutt in the city. To keep up on the show, stay connected
and visit us on Facebook at Canandaigua 1310, Three Men and a Microphone. Presented each week, Saturday 8 to 10 a.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m. Sponsored by the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. And to catch up on past episodes, go to IronMikesMX.com or WOKR 1310.
I'm recorded.
I'm watching it right now.
Oh, all right, we got to check that.
Why can't we live this on 2020?
Yeah.
Yeah, 11,000 people.
Let's run it once or twice and see how it goes.
Can we start doing live like at midnight? Can we do it that way people are asleep when we're live?
I know. As you can tell, guys, typically we have faces for radio.
Yes, right.
Surprised. So what we look like.
I know, I have a picture from 40 years ago on my Facebook page.
People are like, so that's nobody, my character.
Right. Nobody
Ray
recognizes me Ray on the street.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, Jim Neighbors. Surprise. Oh,
so are you going to do your intro, Tim? Or, I mean, because normally you do that
that's right.
Radio guy intro.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Well,
good morning, and
it's that season.
The outtakes.
Yeah,
it's the best part.
There's no retakes.
That's right.
It's that season.
Live to the world.
This Christmas special was brought to you by the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York.
Tactical to practical. Cold weather clothing and gear at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Polypro cold weather masks, long underwear, gloves, boots, socks, caps, parkas, and field jackets on sale now at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua. The Military Talk Show. Iron Mikes, MX.com. Call us at 394-2960.